Hello, everybody. Welcome to the My Sports Musings podcast. My name is Frank Diglio. I'm your host. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the Yankees, their wild game last night, and their outlook for the rest of the year, looking at their schedule and how it could work out for them or it could go very poorly for them. Well, last night was a typical Yankees-Red Sox game, went almost 4 hours to go 9 innings. The first 2 innings took an hour alone. And, you know, 8-7, Brett Gardner had another home run. He's got 15 on the year. His previous career high was 8. And, you know, it was a crazy game that the Yankees really needed. They couldn't afford to, again, fall 6 back of Baltimore, fall out of tied for the second wild card spot in the loss column with Toronto and Kansas City, and staying ahead of Seattle and Cleveland. So this last night was about as big of a win as they've had all season. And what's interesting was it came at a time when their pitching failed them. And usually during the year, it's been the opposite, where the hitting has given the Yankees almost nothing, and the pitching was always pretty decent. Or not, obviously not always. But it usually worked the opposite. But Phelps pitched poorly yesterday. He had elbow inflammation, but the Yankees said it's not a UCL issue, it's a muscular issue, which is great news for the Yankees. Even if he misses just one start, that's totally fine if you can get him back for the next one, because Phelps has been pretty solid all year up until last night, and to lose another starter would be pretty devastating for the team. Speaking of starters, over the weekend, Michael Pineda threw 3 innings, threw 58 pitches, gave up no runs on 3 hits, and he, by all accounts, looked pretty good out there. And the Yankees are, you know, cautiously optimistic. And according to ESPN, Yankees right-hand, you know, Masahiro Tanaka says he felt good after 25 pitches today. He's going to throw again tomorrow. Like I said, I would be shocked if he came back this year regardless, but if he can avoid Tommy John, that's more of a 2015 victory, but boy, is that a huge victory. So if Tanaka throws again tomorrow, which he says he plans to, and he still feels pretty good, that's great news for the Yankees. That's almost as good of a news as making the playoffs this year, because Tanaka's been great, and to not have him next year because of Tommy John It would be really difficult for the Yankees to rebound from that. They'd really probably have to break the bank for a pitcher like Lester or Scherzer or someone like that when they really don't want to. You could tell the Yankees, I know they just brought in Tanaka for 7 for 155, but I don't think they want another pitcher on their staff besides Tanaka and Sabathia getting paid big money, because these pitching contracts are just too risky. That was the thing with Lester. You know, that's why the Red Sox traded him. They wouldn't go above 4 for 75, and Lester felt that he was worth more, and on the open market he will get more. And I think the Yankees, they're starting to look at that and see all the Tommy John surgeries, starting to get a little nervous, especially Tanaka in the first year of a 7 for 155 deal is, you know, he could get Tommy John. It's still possible. So, but that's huge news for the Yankees if he feels good. And if there was any doubt before last night, Brett Gardner is absolutely the best player on the Yankees. I mean, it's unbelievable. He's going to set a career high in batting average for a full season and slugging percentage. He already set one for home run. His OPS will also be the highest it's ever been. He's 3 RBI short of a new career high in RBIs. Not that that matters so much. And he's just having a great year. And I know that he's not particularly young. It's not like he's 25 and you think, oh my God, he's going to be doing this for 10 more years. But look, he's only 30 and he hasn't been in the league for that long. This is his 7th season. The only worry is once his speed goes, that's going to hurt his game a lot, because a lot of his game is predicated on speed. But as he's showing this year, he has decent power. I think he leads the team in slugging percentage, which is crazy to think about. But if he can, as his speed decreases a little bit, if he can add a little bit more power, that would help offset it some. And Gardner, you know, I said this when I on the previous podcast, and I said it when it happened. The Yankees didn't need Ellsbury because Gardner and Ellsbury are such similar players, and right now Gardner looks more like 2011 Ellsbury when he had that great year than Ellsbury does. And Jacoby's not playing too terrible this year. He's playing, you know, pretty decently well, but Brett Gardner's just playing better. He's just outperforming everyone on the team, and it's crazy. But yeah, looking ahead, the Yankees tonight start a 4-game series hosting Detroit, and of course, the Detroit starters against the Yankees are Scherzer, Price, Verlander, and Porcello, and the Yankees almost comically respond with McCarthy, Carota, Capuano, and Green. So that could go very poorly for the Yankees. But the good news is the two teams they're chasing in the American League East, well, they're tied with Toronto in the loss column, but Baltimore plays Washington tonight in a makeup game from a rainout, and then they go to Toronto to play a 3-game series with the Blue Jays, and that's huge for the Yankees because that guarantees that even if they don't play well against Detroit, and let's face it, Detroit's becoming the new Angels for the Yankees, they usually don't, then they won't one of those teams is going to lose, so the Yankees don't have to lose ground on both of them. So if, I mean, the worst case scenario for the Yankees, honestly, is Baltimore takes 2 out of 3. It'd be great if the Yankees could split 2-2 and Baltimore lost all 3, so the Yankees could pull within 3 games in the division. Well, in their 4 games, so, but Baltimore needs, it's more important for the Yankees if Baltimore loses, because the Yankees really don't want the wild card. No team wants the wild card, but think about this, if the Yankees get the wild card, they have to go into Los Angeles, a place they don't play well in the playoffs, have to win a 1-game playoff against Jared Weaver or Garrett Richards, and then they have to, if they somehow pull that win off, they have to go to Oakland. Game 1's going to be John Lester. Yankees don't play particularly well against John Lester. So there's a lot of problems there. The road ahead would look very bumpy. If they win, ironically enough, if they won the division, they'd have to play Detroit in the first round, another team they don't play well against. So it's not looking great either way, but you still would rather play Detroit in the first round instead of having to play a 1-game playoff in Los Angeles or in Anaheim to get into the first round and play the best team in baseball, which is unequivocally the Oakland Athletics. But, you know, like I said, the Yankees, they still have a negative 28 run differential because last night was the 14th straight game they've played where they have, that were decided by 1 or 2 runs. And that is extending a franchise record. So they still have a negative 28 run differential, which means their expected win-loss right now is 52-58. So even with all these injuries on the field, they're still a very lucky team. And they need to capitalize on the luck they've been given, because who knows how much longer it's going to last for them where they can keep having this negative run differential and keep staying above 500. Now, the hope for the Yankees would be that Baltimore is 23-17 right now in one-run games, and typically winning one-run games isn't really a skill. It's more of a luck feature, and so most teams, even great teams, most teams usually regress to around 500 by the end of the year. So the Yankees could hope that Baltimore comes back down to earth a little bit there, you know, gets a little bit more unlucky at the end of games. And if their one-run record, because the Yankees are 17-15 in one-run games, which is, you know, 500 about, it's about where it should be, regardless of who you are. You know, to put it in perspective, Boston is 21-21 in one-run games, and they're a terrible team, because it's just luck who wins those close games. So Baltimore can come down to earth a little bit. They're also 12-4 in extra innings. That's the same thing. It's more, extra innings are somewhat of a luck factor. So if that can come back down to earth, then the Yankees could maybe, if they capitalize on the opportunity they've been given of not playing very well so far throughout the season and still being in the playoff race and in fact being tied in the loss column for the second wild card, that would be huge for them. And the problem with the Yankees also is, let's say they're 21-23 in division, and down the stretch they're going to be playing a lot of in-division games. Let's say they still have on their schedule 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 series with teams in the division. That's a real problem for them. Luckily, some of those are against the Red Sox, who, even though the Red Sox aren't great, they still play the Yankees well, but in the division, you prefer to play Boston over anybody. They still have three with Boston. They still have three with Tampa Bay, who also, or nine with Tampa Bay, who also play them well, but again, you'd ideally play them over Baltimore and Toronto. The big series coming up, though, is the Yankees have four hosting Detroit. They have four hosting Cleveland, who's another decent, good team. It's going to be a tough series for the Yankees. But then they have three with Baltimore. So the key is you want to go into that series with Baltimore within five games. No more than five games. Because then, I mean, five games is still a lot. But if it's in Baltimore, if you took two out of three, you only move up one. You only move to four. But you don't want to have to take two out of three. And then all of a sudden, now you're down five games, which is a lot. So, and then if you're within five, you could sweep and obviously go to two. But that's the big series. If the Yankees leave that series down six or more games with only 6 weeks left, meaning they have to pick up a game a week for the rest of the season, their chances at the division are pretty dire. Obviously, they're not impossible. Teams have blown much bigger leads in much shorter times. But you can't count on that. You have to assume that some team that has been playing well isn't going to go into the tank and all of a sudden be 10 games under 500 for the rest of the season. So that's the biggest series of the year for the Yankees coming up. They got to go over this next seven games between Detroit and Cleveland. You know, it's a really tough stretch, but it's all at home. The Yankees actually haven't played particularly well at home. They're under 500 there. They are, I believe, 25 and 26 at home. But over the seven-game stretch, the Yankees really got to go 5-2. And, I mean, that's difficult because if they drop two to Detroit, they got to sweep Cleveland. But they can't really afford to lose that many games anymore. Luckily for them, Baltimore has to go 3 at Toronto, then they host St. Louis for 3. That's going to be tough. But they do avoid Wainwright, it looks like. They get Masterson, Lackey, Lynn, all pretty good pitchers. But if the Yankees go 5-2... And over these next seven games, Baltimore goes 3-4. You know, the Yankees pick up two games. That means they could go into that series with Baltimore in Baltimore, down only three games back, which, you know, means a sweep could conceivably put them in first, depending on what Toronto does. And that's really what they have to be looking at. This is it's no longer at the point where the Yankees could say, "Oh, it's early. You know, we got time to make it up." You know, it's August. It's moving time now. It's time to. It's almost like Saturday in a golf tournament. They call that moving day. That's when players have to make their moves to try to win the tournament. This is when teams this month now, they have to start the road onto either winning the division or the wild card, or they're just going to falter and be out of it by September, because you can't go into the last 20 games of the season and say, "Oh, well, pick up a seven-game deficit." It happens all the time. You know, it happens once in a while. It happened in 2012 with the Rays and the Cardinals. And it happened, obviously, in 2008 with the Mets and the Phillies. And I actually think 2009 with the Mets and the Phillies. Or 2007 as well. 2007 was a big one, but the Mets also did it in 2008. But the Yankees can't count on that. This is huge. They need to get hitting from all of their guys. And Gardner has to stay hot. The pitching has to be better. Pineda has to come back. If Pineda comes back, that's huge. They can move Capuano, or Phelps, if he still has elbow issues and he needs to be moved to the bullpen, they can afford to do it with Pineda coming back. So that's what they really need to look at. And like I said, Tanaka threw today 25 pitches. He felt pretty good, and he's going to throw again tomorrow. This is huge for the Yankees. This is almost, if he gets Tommy John, it almost makes this season seem less, you know, almost makes the season seem a little bit scarier. But next season seem a lost cause. So that's it. We're going to end it here. And thanks for listening. Like I said, my name is Frank Diglio. You can email the show at mysportsmusings@gmail.com. You can comment on the podcast. And you can see me at Twitter at Nelly Bleistunad. That's NENN as in Nick, ELLIE. BLYSTUNAD. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you on Wednesday.